Dad moved to the hills when I could barely walk or talk. He cleared a stand of cedar, built a home of native rock. Now my daddy is a lawyer, but the daddy I recall wore boondock boots and a khaki shirt and a sweat-stained farm straw. And his dreams are in the hills, in the limestone rim rock cedar breaks, home of the deer and the whippoorwill. Seep spring down by the canyons, thick with yoke on open elm. Daddy's dreams are in the hills. Daddy's dreams are in the hills.
As I have stated before, when you follow Westlake Drive as it now lies and goes across Little Bee Creek, where it hits Redbud Trail, a part of this James land, 15 acres of this James land, lay on the west side of Little Bee Creek on what is now known as Ghost Canyon back in those days. And so when the city of Austin was making this overall trade with me about the Stroder 25 acres and the land I bought for them from the James, they surveyed the coast of James tract out and found out this 15 acres was on the was inaccessible so far as they were concerned. If you can picture that land without Westlake Drive or Redbud Trail being there, you can see why they would think it was inaccessible completely. And so they gave me that more or less as a bonus in the trade. And that's where the filling station and the store there now is. And the land that lies east of Westlake Drive all the way up to Skyline Drive. Now, while I was abstracting all of this land on the east side of that mountain there, I ran into 10 acres that where Liz Carpenter now lives and Dean Doty and General Sapansky and the house where we live right here now, where Joyce and I live on Skyline Drive. There was 10 acres in there that the records show belonged to the city of Austin, and they had bought it years before to put a reservoir up there. And the city of Austin didn't know they had it. And I run into it, so I called attention to the authorities down there while I was making this James tract, and they said they didn't want it, had no use for it, and they sent it to me for $1,000. That's $10 an acre. And so I drew up a deed, and I have a copy of the deed right now of that 10 acres for $1,000. But I didn't have any $1,000, so I talked to Mr. L.L. Bradshaw and asked him if he wanted to buy it. And he did, and he paid the city $1,000 for that tract of land. And that's where all these houses are now, and that's the way he got that, and the way the city of Austin got rid of it. Now, to show you how tight money was then with me, I was having so many deals made that when we got down to close with the city of Austin, and they was to pay me this $1,500 for the Stroder tract, and I went up to see Guyton Morgan, my father and brothers had been practicing law for years, we had never paid any taxes like anyone else did on the library. We had its personal property. Nobody paid taxes in those days on libraries. But when I got up to close out on this deal of the Stroder tract, and the city was getting the dam site out of it, I was swapping deeds with them, and they're going to give me a check. And Morgan had said that the tax department or the legal department found out that the Shelton firm owed $200 worth of back taxes for our libraries for the last 10 or 15 years. Well, I told him, I said, now, you're not going to make a deal with me because I don't have the $200. I can't afford to lose that because I've got to give the whole $1,500 I'm getting from y'all to the Stroders to close this deal out. Because at that time, I hadn't sold any of that Stroder land. We didn't have the road over there yet. And so there we sat, locked horns. He said, well, Emmett, the best way to work that out is this. Said, you give us the deed, and you give me a check for $200 for the taxes that's dated 2 months off, or whatever time I want to get to make it, and said, then we'll make the deal. I'll give you your check for $1,500. Well, that's where we made it, and so I gave them a hot check for the taxes in order to close that deal. And before the year was up, I sold 3 acres in the up there on top of the mountain to McCarkle, who later become a member of the city council. I sold it to Stuart McCorkle, 3 acres, for $3,000 cash. But I sure didn't have it the day I was talking to Guyton Morgan about closing the deal with the city of Austin. As I have said, Westlake Drive was not built down to Redbud trail at that time, and you had to stop your car on the BK Road to walk over to this mountain and over to the Strother Tract. And so at that time, I was doing a little business with Brown and Root, and Brown and Root had gotten this high line that runs through all of my land and the Roy Rand going up to the Marshall Ford Dam. I'd given them free easement to go through there for all that high line. It's created quite a little controversy in the last 3 or 4 years in Westlake Hills. But anyway, I was a very close friend of all the boys in Brown and Root because their offices were here in Austin at that time. And one of the vice presidents, I forget his name now, but I knew he had a little money, and I thought maybe I might could sell him 50 acres over where the Mount Strother is now and down on Big Creek or somewhere. But I could get him over there and show it to him. I'd sell him 50 acres for $1,500. That would have been what I owed on the tract, and I'd let him pay for it. I was still wheeling and dealing, trying to sell enough of it to get the money in the bank before the note come due. I mean, before the contract come due. So I parked him in his car up at Cedar Crest. That is at that time, the old Cedar Crest nightclub was up there, and he and his wife come out one Sunday evening, and they went with me, and they walked all the way from Cedar Crest. That's down that ridge where 360 now cuts through the middle of it. Walked all the way down where the Redbud Trail and Skyline Drive was going to be built, and got them on top of that mountain. It took an hour and a half through the brush to get down there because there's no road. The Redbud Trail didn't come that far then. So I got him on top of that mountain to show him that view of the lake and everything from where Putnam's home is now. And I had him worn out by the time I got him there. And I told him that I'd sell him 50 acres on the front end of that mountain and give him for $1,500. Well, he looked at me and he said, "Emmett, I wouldn't give you a nickel for this land." He was quoting Ed Rowe. And so he said, "But I'll tell you what it will do. I'll give you $1,500 if you can get me back to my car without having to walk." So I lost that sale, and of course, McCorkle later on did buy it. It might not be amiss to give a little bit of humor involved in this. And during all this time, when we were talking with Ed Rowe and Tom Miller and all these other people about the lake, and everybody was excited about buying boats and things. And so one day I was in the bank, and Ed Rowe and Tom Miller and all of them were there, and somebody made a remark to Ed said, "Tom bought a boat," and said, and told all the other people he's buying boats to get ready for this big occasion when the dam would be finished and we'd have the lake ready. And this person said to Ed Rowe, said, "Ed, why don't you buy a boat? You've got more money or reputed to have more money than all the rest of us put together." And Ed said, "I can illustrate that by one little poem." He said, a man told me this little poem not too long ago. He said, "If you're rich and want to be poor, you get you a boat and a red-headed whore. Then, if you're poor and want to be rich, you sail the boat and shoot the bitch." And that's about what all those that bought the boats did before it was all over. Of course, when we started building the road off the BK Road that's now known as Westlake Drive, there was a lot of activity taking place on the land up and down the lake. And the people in Austin who were boat-minded, they organized what was called the Yacht Club. And they started building a building over there where the Caulfield property is now. And since Westlake Hills or Westlake Drive was unheard of in those days, the road that we built was called the Yacht Club Road. That's the Westlake Drive. That was first called the Yacht Club Road along when we first started to build it. And so Johnny and I didn't have any engineering help in building Westlake Drive. We just walk along and try to find the place that we get across those gullies. And when we got down to where Hull Circle is now, we were trying to run the road straight on across and hit on the bluff on the north side there. But that was such an engineering feat that it baffled us. So we decided to turn this road that we were going to build over to the lake westward and be where it's now located and be about 100, 200 feet south of Big Creek. And we could get a road in there. We got up to where the new bridge is being built right now, and we could get across Big Creek at that point. And it so happened, that very point, that is Wildcat Hollow there, where it runs into the Big Creek from the south side, that was going to be at the head of the lake, so far as the water would be backed up in Bee Creek that far, and would not run over any further than that. It would not run over the roadway. So we built Westlake Drive, or what we'd call it the Yacht Club Drive then, up to that point, and we put, we didn't have any idea what kind of drainage we were going to need, so the county put in a concrete culvert of some kind, a pipe, and It was quite a little bit of a deal to get all the fill in there then, because there wasn't any way to get any fill in there. But anyway, we had the hard luck of having this happen. We had a flood. Less than 2 weeks after that bridge or the culvert was put across there and washed the whole thing out, and we had to start over on that, which was a tremendous engineering feat at that time. But what John E. replaced that with back about 1940, it lasted until the Memorial Day flood of about 5 years ago. And that was the only access that we had on the east end there into the peninsula area. Then when we got up on the hillside there where we turned to the east and started paralleling the north bank of Bee Creek going down toward the lake, which was our objective, was to get to the lake, of course. Well, Fred Larson, Guy Colley had, before Fred Larson bought this land, he had put a fence along there, and we thought, when I surveyed the Stroder land, that was supposed to be the Stroder line. Well, Fred Larson took the position that was not the line of the Stroder track, but it was a drift fence, and his land went all the way to Bee Creek. Well, we didn't fuss very long about that project, because we told Fred that if that was true, then he was not going to have a road. And so we not only made him let us put the road along, but we made him give half of the right-of-way, which was like pulling his eye teeth. At the time, we got the Yacht Club Road down to where the West Lake Drive now intersects the Redbud Trail. I was building Redbud Trail in from the west, and I was still a half a mile west up there where Caravan Circle is now in my building of Redbud Trail. And so all of that land between West Lake Drive now and the Caravan Circle was inaccessible except from the west. There are one or two interesting stories about selling this land out there. Yeah, because when we got the road down to Bee Creek there, everybody that was around the university and the other places that wanted a place on the lake were following our bulldozers and we were trying to set aside some land for them to buy. We had run out levels on up and down Bee Creek as to where the lake level was going to be, and I was building rock walls along there to where people could buy, say, a 100-foot strip on Bee Creek, on either side of Bee Creek, and go back up to the roads on either side. And I was getting $400 for half-acre pieces of land there, and that was less than a year after we had paid $15 an acre for it.
Daddy's dreams are in the hills. Daddy's dreams are in the hills.